You darn right I am. This is America. Not sure if you've heard of it,
but well, not for much longer.
Mike Gold, Brian Caves, welcome back to Brimey. It feels like it's been 3 months since we've last recorded an episode, but then I looked at our Twitter feed. It's like, wait, we had a Halloween episode. That was only a week ago. We've been
We recorded the week before Halloween, though.
Oh, so that's true. Okay. So that totally justified.
It's been like 2 weeks.
So what has your life been in these last 2 weeks, Bryant?
You know what, man? It has been busy.
Yeah? Busy it's beaver?
Busy, busiest beaver award. That's me right there.
It says bushiest.
Spicy curry award. What's that mean? So I've done so much in that time. I've been to two concerts. Yeah, I've been saw Marcus King, and I saw 49 Winchester. So like a Southern rock type group. Marcus King, I saw two dudes fight, which that was
hell
like
yeah.
Two like old biker looking dudes.
Hell yeah, get some, brother.
One had apparently said something negative about the other's military service.
Oh god. Oh my gosh.
And oh, it, Lord. I'm assuming because as he was like trying to fight the guy, he just kept screaming that he was a veteran and that he served, and I don't know. They had been very clearly overserved on really expensive beers, because at this venue the beers were I paid $30 for two PBR tall boys.
What? No, you did not, Brian Caves. Did you ask for a refund?
I didn't know that until
they said $30.
Yeah, until they said $30, because they didn't have prices.
And then you replied, go F yourself. I'm not paying $30 for two PBRs.
And then I paid $30 for two PBRs and
drank
them.
Gave them a tip.
But I wasn't happy about it. So we did that. We had our friends from Boston come into town.
Although they're from Ireland, so they're not Boston, they're Ireland.
Well, one's from Boston, one's from Ireland, which we'll have a little foreshadowing. We've got a BAM question later on that involves Ireland that I may have asked for some secondhand help on. We'll see. You'll see.
Oh, you're asking for help, calling the lifeline there, aren't you?
Yeah, some proper pronunciation there. So we'll see. See if we get that. Alyssa sent me the correct answer, so I'll give her credit ultimately.
You planned for these? You researched these episodes?
I did within the last 5 minutes. I sent out a text. Okay.
Well, we've been talking for 10 minutes, so you've been texting people when I'm trying. Oh, man, that's okay. I do the same thing. I'm texting other people. I'm bored.
I'm just like sitting over here, like playing games and
Kelly and Murphy. I think you balanced your checkbook when we were.
I did my taxes one time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's why our episodes are so long, because I just keep talking. And Brian's like, yeah, I have a lot of errands to run. Keep going, man. Keep going.
Carry the two.
Okay. Well, so you've been going to concerts. You've been seeing old veterans fight each other after drinking $90 Budweiser's, probably, if PBR is 15. What else have you been up to?
Let's see. We had those friends come into town. We showed them around the town. Did some fun stuff. I went to a wrestling show yesterday.
I saw a backyard wrestling. Was that next to where Rudy Giuliani did his post-election?
I think it might total lawn care.
That was the Four Seasons. Yeah,
Four Seasons lawn care. No, I think it was pretty close. It was back behind this like arcade bar type place called Abari, Super Abari Game Bar. Mm. And they hosted. These were like guys at a local like wrestling school that basically put on a show. It was like $10 and you could go hang out at the arcade and then watch. I think there were like four or five matches, and they just set up this ring in a
school. Okay.
Yeah. In a parking lot. And me and like, I don't know, it was probably 50 people there or something. We had a good time. We got some good chants going, and yeah, it was a good time. They made a special beer for the event. One of the local breweries made an IPA called Figure 4 Hop Lock.
Ooh, I like a good wordplay.
And I actually spent a lot of time talking to the brewer about it. He's also a big wrestling fan. So me and the brewer were hanging, talking about wrestling and beer. It was a good time. And that's kind of been me, man. I've been all over the place, just living life.
That checks all the boxes right there.
How about you? What you been up to?
Oh, man. I don't know. Basketball season's incoming. So I had a lot, or it starts Tuesday night. By the time you listen to this, it might already be over at the start of the season. So I've been writing up a darn storm. I had 9 articles go out last week. Jesus. About OSU women's basketball on a site where I get paid, thankfully, on the hard work of football people, because that's who gets the engagement. That's who gets the readership. But the check's clear. So I've been getting stuff done, getting things ready. I already got, by tomorrow night, I'll have 6 articles out in 2 days on there just about basketball, about the women's basketball team, a team that probably most people going to Land Grant Holy Land don't care about, but they give me the space and the time to do that. And I get reimbursed, well, not reimbursed. I get paid, because I'm not paying anything out except for time and mental exhaustion, but it's exciting. It's all done and fun. At home, things are fine. Things are fine. I went to Indianapolis last week, where I went to a concert. It was by far the smallest amount of people I've ever been at a concert with. There were 25 people there, and driving 3 hours for a concert with 25 people. But you wouldn't have known that from the performances. I went and saw Chris Farron and opener Susie True. It was a really fun show. They didn't seem like they were bummed out for playing in front of so few people. Even got to like talk to Chris Farron, who's, if you like rock, like DIY pop punk kind of rock music, it's really catchy. It's really a fun listen, and he's got a great gimmick, which I love a good gimmick. And so he was really down to earth. You know, you talk to folks who have a persona, and his persona is like, oh, everything I do is perfect, and this is all fantastic, and look how beautiful this set is and stuff, and look how awesome my songs are. And that's his persona. But then talking to him, like, he was talking to us before we even interviewed him, and he's just like complimenting somebody's jacket. He's like, oh, where'd you get that? And he's like actually just having a regular human conversation. Yeah. And it's cool to see that persona is so, it makes it even funnier because it's so amplified on social media or on stage, but behind the scenes, he's just like kind of the most down to earth, one of the most down to earth types of folks you can talk to. They're just like messing around, joking around, like not even kind of, I don't know what the word is. Just like normal. That's the word. Yeah. Normal. So that was cool. That was probably the highlight of the last couple of weeks, and just getting ready for, you know, getting ready for the holidays and stuff like that, and basketball starts and all this stuff. It's great. So, you know, I even turned on Christmas music, because you know what? I don't fucking care if you don't like to listen to it. I don't care.
We're putting our tree up on Wednesday.
Let's go.
Alyssa, we had planned to put it up last week, and then Alyssa was sick. So we missed Halloween because Alyssa was sick, which is fine. Mm. We survived. How was your Halloween?
It was good. Went out as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
Which I forgot Halloween happened. Yeah. Went out as a Ghostbuster, and my wonderful bride was dressed up in a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man onesie, like pajama onesie. So we walked around the neighborhood, and a lot of people got a kick out of it. Really hit the millennial crowd. They really enjoyed our costume. And one house, he had these like strobe, like Halloween strobe lights on in his garage, and it was dark and there was loud music and stuff. And when I walked up, this was towards the end of the trick-or-treating, after my 4-year-old had fallen like 3 times because the dude did not look where he's walking. And he had to walk up and down every driveway, because every time he get candy, he'd come back and I say, did you say thank you? And he would just, he'd turn around and walk all the way back up. And at one point, we're halfway through, and he's like, if you go home, you know, you're not going to have any more candy. You don't want any more candy? because he kept asking to go back home, and he was like, I don't want any more candy. Yes. And that was his response. I was like, dude. So I tried to go walk home with him, which was like a street down. It wasn't even that far. I go back to walk with him, and a minute after we're walking, he's like, I want to go with mommy. He wanted mommy to take him home. So then he came back with us, and we just kept walking and kept trick-or-treating. So we stop at the house. This is after all of that. We stop at this strobe light house, and there's music and stuff, and he turns on the Ghostbusters theme song. And I carried around a coffee travel mug that did not have travel coffee in it. And so I was enjoying the Halloween. He turned the music on. I started breaking it down, man. Hell, I started throwing some moves out there. You know how I do.
No, I've seen you dance.
Have you?
I've seen you dance.
Oh, I don't remember, but I probably have. And he was like, he turned on the Ghostbusters theme, so I'm going, I'm moving and stuff. He's like, hey, do you guys want treats? And I thought, oh my God, is this guy going to offer me drugs? Drug-free is the way to be. I'm not taking your drugs. I didn't say anything. I walk up and you can't see anything.
Here's some black tar heroin.
Oh my God. He's got the strobe lights behind him. So I can't see what's in this basket and stuff. And so he hands his basket up, holds it up, and I grab two things out of it. And I was so afraid they were like Ziploc baggies, but they were not.
you got stuck by a needle as you...
Right, and I'm dead. No, they gave me these little like bottles of Fireball.
God.
So we got two bottles of Fireball. Once I grabbed, I was like, oh, okay, I feel better now. It's just little pre-sealed bottles of alcohol. Okay, fine. And my wife was like, I'm not drinking that. And I'm like, I know you're not. So I opened one of them and I just downed it right there in the driveway. And I was like, let's go. Let's keep trick-or-treating. Let's do this. So it was fun.
You trick-or-treated like my parents used to trick-or-treat when I was a kid. Like when we lived down in like Central Florida, we had like a big neighborhood, and it was like a huge circle, basically. Mm-hmm. It was like one big loop, and the kids would basically just kind of let us go, because it was kind of a pretty small neighborhood. Everybody knew everybody.
My parents never trick-or-treated with me ever.
My parents knew all the parents kind of knew each other, all the kids kind of knew each other. And so basically the parents that did trick-or-treat with their kids, if they were like real little or something, the parents, every parent would keep like a cooler of beer on the front porch with them. And it's like,
hell yeah.
Parents would go house to house, like grabbing a beer or grabbing a, you know, a cocktail or
let's go.
You know, I'm sure they had a good time.
It was a good time, man.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? I interrupted you.
I don't even know. That's quality podcasting right there, friends.
Right. Let's do it. Speaking of quality podcasting, we might as well keep you from quality podcasting and keep going in our show. you don't remember? I don't want to keep it. Here, open invitation. If you remember between now and the end of the episode, just interrupt me.
Okay.
And jump in and say, oh, I know what it was. So we'll do that. Whenever it comes to you.
Sounds good.
All right, let's start our show. Welcome, boys and girls, to Brian Me. We're a podcast where we talk about soccer and other things, other podcasty things. Hey, Brian, we got a show tonight. We're going to talk about stuff in show. We're going to end the show. We're going to go backwards to frontwards. We're going to finish up the show with Ask Bam tonight. We're going to answer all of your questions, mostly most of your questions, as there are some questions that we don't want to answer tonight. But we'll get to those. We'll talk about some other stuff during Ask Bam. We're also going to cover, I got to meet G live and in the flesh.
Whoa.
Which was a bittersweet moment. Yeah, they do in person. Well, now you're the only one that hasn't met in person. So now we have to now meet at a different level to even prove that you're real.
This is like Inception or something.
Yeah, bong, or whatever the sound was in that movie. And so we'll talk about that and the circumstances in which I was able to meet G here in Columbus, which is not very often. Serendipity is thy name of this meetup. And then we'll talk about all things. We're going to start off with all things Liverpool and all things Tottenham, because there were three scheduled matches. Two of the matches happened, and not great feelings for either of us. We both kind of walk away at a at even. So no rundown tonight. We're just going to hop right to it. Brian Caves. Tottenham women were supposed to play a match this weekend, but they were another victim of cancel culture. What happened?
They really shouldn't have sent that tweet out.
Woke soccer agenda, or football agenda, I should say.
Just
added again. Added again.
No, they weren't flooded with a stream of angry tweets. They were flooded on the field. So they were supposed to play Everton on the weekend. But the stadium where they're playing at currently at Brisbane Road, the field was apparently North London was just bombarded with rain, which I know you're all shocked. London.
It was raining in London?
In England, it's raining. And the field was basically unplayable. So they postponed the game. So no match for Tottenham women over the weekend. And it really, I think, drives something home that we've talked about before on the show, like with the Liverpool women's club and kind of just the discrepancies between how the teams treat their men's teams versus their women's team. Cause I can guarantee you the men played the same day at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against Liverpool in London. They played that game. That pitch wasn't too waterlogged to play. Yeah. So that pitch clearly has whatever's needed to, you know, keep the field playable.
Yeah.
But they can't be bothered to put the investment in for the field, the pitch in which their women's team plays, to keep that pitch playable in a place where it rains all the time. It's all England. The time.
How do you not know this is going to happen?
It rains there constantly. That's kind of what it's known for. Rain and bland food.
Not in that order, but maybe.
So like, yeah, just, you know, not real thrilled about that, but you know, it's been postponed. No return date's been announced. I'm sure they'll try and get it in at some point, but
yeah, man, that's not great. Watching Liverpool this year, who are now for sale, by the way.
Yes.
Which we're not even going to touch that tonight. There's probably too much to talk about there. Liverpool has not played very well this season. After beating Chelsea in the first match, I think they were still Chelsea at that point. Maybe they weren't. Chelsea, that match. They haven't gotten a single point since. They haven't scored a goal since. So, although in the equivalent of the Capital One Company Cup, the league title, the Continental Cup on the women's side, they were, you know, kicking A and taking names in that tournament, but they can't buy a goal in the WSL. This last weekend, it was on a sus handball given for a penalty kick to Aston Villa's, and they scored that penalty kick, beating Liverpool 1-0. And it was tough, man. It was difficult to watch. They played all right. The first half, they had good control. It was a pretty good back and forth match, but it's just one thing that, you know, goes against them, and that's it. They haven't scored a goal from the run of play during the season at all. Their only two goals were on penalty kicks, and there's time to turn it around. And you're also losing your one of your strikers in Leanne Kiernan, so that's tough too. I think time will tell that they'll be on the right side of things. There was a tough stretch of matches against Arsenal. I know you beat Chelsea, but Everton was a good side. And I think once you get to teams like Reading and teams near the bottom with them, it's going to be much more competitive, like against Leicester City. Hopefully they can get some goals and start building that confidence back up, because gosh darn it, they need it.
I think it's one of those things, right? Like, it's the old cliche of like, once they see one go in, I think a lot more will follow. It's kind of like with basketball, right? When you're a shooter and you can't hit a basket to save your life, and then all of a sudden you hit one and you're like, oh yeah, I know how
that's
to do this.
That's how I'm supposed to do that. Yeah, and then, but you have to keep shooting.
Right.
You have to keep going. So we'll see what happens. It's all kind of up in the air now. It seems weird with this team sale, and it doesn't seem like, you know, maybe investment won't be there until this sale goes through, or it sounds like even the sale might be, they're just opening it up, but they don't get a good enough offer, they'll keep the team. Like they're still like, I think they're maybe taking advantage of the market. You're going to the World Cup. This is when teams' values get even higher, more eyes join these leagues. Absolutely, after the World Cup. So maybe this is just like, hey, this is going to be the best chance to make some money off of this.
What better way to show the team off than have them do well in Qatar and then have Qatar buy the team?
There you go. And then maybe as podcast hosts, we can get paid all expenses to go over to a match and then report anybody who has anything bad to say about the Qatari owners.
Listen, Qatar, if you're listening to this right now, I know the Qatari leadership, real big
huge,
fans of
Brian. Huge fans. Yeah, huge fans.
Big fans of Brian and me.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening to this, I'll do it for cheaper than whatever you were paying the men's national team. I'm for sale.
Look, right.
You know, you pay off our student loan debts.
Ooh,
and
yeah. Joe Biden can't get it done, so you need to do it for us, Qatar.
Listen, I'm for sale. My patriotism, my love of country. I'll go like for all you old school wrestling fans back in the early 90s when Sergeant Slaughter, who was a G.I. Joe, you know, he was a character, literally a character on G.I. Joe, was an action figure, all this stuff. All of a sudden he turned heel and became an Iraqi sympathizer during Operation Desert Storm. So he would come out flying the like Iraqi flag.
Oh my Lord.
Say how good a friend he was with Saddam Hussein and stuff. So look, I'll do that, Qatar. If you're listening right now, call your boy.
Call real quick, because we might not have a country soon enough. So you need to call real quick, like, because, yeah, good luck with that. Liverpool versus Tottenham then on the men's side. I watched not a second of this match. This is the Brian Me heel turn, because now I'm the one who didn't watch any of the match. And now you have to run the conversation. So, Brian, tell me a tale. Spin me a yarn.
So
what happened in Liverpool v Tottenham?
It was really a tale of two halves. So it was two very different halves. Let's say in the first half, Liverpool really was kind of running the game. I mean, possession was, I think, like 65-35 in Liverpool's favor, which kind of right now is what Tottenham is, kind of style of football Tottenham's playing.
They're a Conte team, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're kind of sitting back. They didn't really show much on the counter because they're missing most of their attacking players right now. Son's hurt, Richarlison's hurt, Kulusevski, who's a really good attacking player, Swede, is coming back from injury, so he couldn't play the first half. So it's Harry Kane up front, and then there's no pace behind him. So we really weren't particularly dangerous on the counter. We'd kind of play the ball around, and Liverpool would take advantage. They definitely had more possession, and you know, Mo Salah scored a brace, two goals in the first half on a couple of mistakes. I mean, literally one, if you could give defensive players an assist for a goal, Eric Dier literally is trying to clear a header and puts it right at Salah's feet for a goal. And, you know, Lloris couldn't get to it.
Hate to see it.
Yeah. So, you know, Eric, here's what I was kind of saying to the bar about that. Eric Dier has played himself potentially into the England national team, you know, to go to the World Cup, because he's played well for the most part. What he's figured out is, A, he just got married, or he's just got engaged. B, you know, he understands all the human rights violations and the bad things that are going on in Qatar. He's trying to play himself out of going to the World Cup just because he doesn't believe in such things. So he's given up goals like that just to make Gareth Southgate drop him. Funny story, by the way, an ultimate FU to Arsenal, and particularly Alexis Sanchez, former Arsenal player. In 1 week, Tottenham knocked Alexis Sanchez's team Marseille out of the Champions League, and Eric Dier got engaged to his ex-girlfriend.
Ooh. Man, that's great.
In the same week. So
that's fantastic.
There's been a lot of fun had with that on Tottenham Twitter over the past week. But yeah, it was Tottenham really didn't show much in the first half. Kind of came out and it was kind of the opposite. Like Liverpool were, you're up 2-0, you're two games away from the World Cup final. They were fine to kind of sit back, not really press too hard. Tottenham were kind of on the front foot, but didn't really have anything too dangerous. Made a couple subs, brought in the aforementioned Swede, Dejan Kulusevski. He made an immediate impact, throws a header, there's a cross into Kane who scores. And from there, it was really a lot of Tottenham just desperately trying to score. Liverpool okay to kind of sit back, counter when they saw an opportunity, but they really didn't do all that much. And unfortunately for me, but fortunately for you, you know, Tottenham wasn't able to get that second goal through. Liverpool ends up winning 2-1, their first away win of the season.
It's rough, man. And then they drew Real Madrid for the Champions League. So like, we have to get top four. There's no way.
Like
you need to get top four. Although in Champions League, Liverpool looks like Liverpool. They look like Liverpool, but when it comes to the PL, are they phoning it in this first half of the season? And then like after Qatar, like, okay, we're healthy. Let's go. We're ready to go. You don't have to make it that difficult. You can compete.
Well, and it's part of it's funny that you say that because Tottenham's sitting in fourth right now, but it's a part of a series lately between both the Champions League and in the PL, the games they've won on last minute goals. Is a team that starts slow every week, every game, the last seven or eight games, especially has started low, have been in a deficit seven games straight at halftime.
Yeesh.
So this is a team that they're a second half team. There's a lot of speculation that Conte is kind of keeping it real close to the vest leading up to the World Cup. And then he's going to kind of play a different style after the World Cup.
That makes sense. You can see that because that World Cup's going to give coaches in the Premier League something that they never get, which is weeks to plan for competitors and weeks to look back at their, you know, how the season's gone and stuff, then it doesn't interrupt normal match preparation. So if anything, like it is, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's probably something to it. Not to mention we've got a lot of players that are probably going to be on World Cup rosters.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I think he's maybe playing it a little close to the vest. We'll see. You know, it was clearly Liverpool were the better side on the day. You know, got the job done in London. So
dude, beat Manchester City, beat Tottenham, lose to Leeds.
Yeah.
Like what, that's what Liverpool is doing this year. And it's like,
the Premier League, you can't just get up for the big matches. You got to beat
that's what they're doing this year.
They're playing, it feels like they're playing down to their level of competition almost. Like if it's a, you know, a Tottenham or a Man City or an Arsenal or a, you know, one of these, like
even Arsenal, they lost, but it was back and forth. At least they looked like they cared a little bit.
Yeah. Some of these bad teams. And I think some of that could just be the amount of success they've had.
Yeah.
I think it's just once you've had repeated success, it gets hard to
wake up and, you know, be motivated.
Are you going to be busting your ass and giving that extra whatever you got to give? Or are you going to say, yeah, you know, we've done really well. We've won some things. I'll give it 90% today. And it's human nature. I mean, everyone would do it.
Right. I agree with you. And also you're bringing in a lot of new blood. Now, granted, Luis Diaz is injured. He has a lot of intensity that I think Liverpool feeds off of. You bring in Darwin Nunez, who seems to be a little entitled. Also, it's kind of tough that he doesn't speak the language of his coach. So you have to get everything from your teammates. But losing Sadio Mane, he seemed to play consistent no matter who they played. Mo Salah has not really been Mo Salah this year. I think we talked about it. He got that contract. He's pushing for a contract. He got the money. Now he's like, I'm made in the shade, man. I got paid. But also, he doesn't have to go to the World Cup. Bobby Firmino doesn't have to go to the World Cup. The way it's looking, maybe Trent doesn't even go to the World Cup. Jordan Henderson might go as like a veteran figurehead kind of dude, but not play a ton. Liverpool doesn't have a lot of players going off to the World Cup. So you need to get points though before you leave.
Yeah.
And beating Tottenham, that's, I almost said winning. Winning Tottenham was a good step in the right direction. So we'll see how they look after. There's a lot with the sale of the team. I don't think it impacts the day to day, and I don't think it's going to impact the matches and stuff. Although Klopp will probably be sick of hearing questions about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
If they still look like this after the World Cup break, when Diaz hopefully comes back, when Jota comes back, when you're healthy again, man, that's at that point you start to ask questions. And as a Liverpool fan, I start to ask questions like, are we going to keep this throughout the rest of the season, but long term, is Klopp going to keep his job? And I've said before on here, like, let him stay there forever. I love him. He's great. What he says, he is a German Scouser. Like, he is that city. But they saw it with Gerrard. He's not going to make an impact if he comes to Liverpool. Like, who would replace him? That starts being the conversation. Do they spend money in January? Are the owners going to spend money if they're trying to sell the team?
Ready to sell the team, yeah.
There are a lot of questions now around the team, and it's it doesn't totally feel like it yet, but it feels like on the doorstep of this era of the team is over. Like, yeah, you're going to have Mo around for a few years, but I feel like the era of the team might be creeping towards joining the conversation. I don't think it's in the conversation, unless you talk to FSG out people who have wanted to fire the owners or get rid of them since they bought the team. If you don't talk to the crazy conspiracy theory hat, tinfoil hat folks, I think it's going to creep into real, like, non-troll fans.
Well, and I think in sports in general, but I feel like soccer is notorious for it. Like, the managers that stick around for a super long time at a team, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson's or Arsene Wenger's, are the exception rather than the rule, right? Like, at some point, at some point, you know, when you've heard the same thing in practice every day for X number of years, you kind of start to tune it. I mean, it's, again, human nature. You kind of start to turn it out.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's what's happening at Liverpool or not, but you've got a lot of guys that have been there a long time, and yeah, they've brought in some new blood. But you still got some guys that have been on that roster a long time that, you know, I don't know if they're tuning them out, or they feel like they've heard everything that Jurgen's got to say and are kind of going through them. I mean, I don't know, but
you've got players on there who've won every trophy.
Yeah.
Every trophy Liverpool has won in some season over the last few years, like even down to the FIFA Club World Cup, they've won, you know, they've won the Caribou Cup, FA Cup, League, Champions League. Like, what else do you need to win at this point? Like, that, I think there's a lot of merit in that. And maybe even after the World Cup, what will some players have to play for? Like, Firmino, they released the Brazil squad today. He did not make the Brazil squad, although he's playing arguably his best season in 3 or 4 years.
Crazy. He didn't make the Brazil squad.
Especially when, like, Richarlison is hurt. I don't know if he's coming back, if he's going to be back for the World Cup, but, like, Firmino didn't make it. So is the second half of the season, okay, I've won everything, I can just, you know, whatever, just get through the season. I think he might actually, I don't know how his contract might be close to done. Or is he going to push for, hey, look how great I am, somebody sign me for big money? Like, there are a lot of questions. Maybe after the World Cup, are guys going to have the same motivation as before? Yeah. Especially guys who are on the fringe of their international or their national teams. That's, time will tell, man.
It's going to be It's going to be, and I feel like more so than it's been, like, I feel like this season is more wide open than, like, Man City is probably the best team in the league, but they lost to Liverpool. Like, they've lost games. They're not in first. Arsenal's, but it's sitting in first right now. Now,
and Arsenal's look good. Like, they've had a couple slip ups, but they've looked the best of anybody.
And, you know, they, I think, unlike a lot of the other teams, they haven't really hit an injury bug yet, or they've had a lot of players get hurt. Whereas
they're
Other teams have. So, you know, will they hold on to where they're at right now? Like, with the seat, we're not even halfway through the season yet, really. So will they hold on to that? You know, we'll see. I think this is a season that the second half after the World Cup is going to be really, really fun to watch, really interesting.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of different ways a lot of different teams could go, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. I know you're not planning on watching the World Cup, but it's going to be interesting, I think, to see, like, who goes nuts in the World Cup and gets, you know, because it happens every time somebody goes, you know, plays out of their head in the World Cup and gets big money or gets, or, you know, plays that into playing much better domestically. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm not watching the World Cup. It's perfect that it's around the holidays, because I'll have so much other stuff to focus on. That's not the World Cup. It's going to be pretty. And also the time of the matches is like right around the time I'm getting kids up for school. I'm training right now at work, and I have an active training class. So it's really easy not to pay attention at all. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of perfect. And then all the sports is kind of like basketball is going to be the focus as the season kicks off or tips off. Excuse me. They don't kick it. That's a foul. It's the opposite of basketball or soccer fans out there. Handball.
Tipping off.
Yeah. You can't kick. If you kick the basketball, it's a foul.
I think that's a tech, isn't it?
Well, if you throw your foot out, that's just a foul. If you kick it like Bobby Knight style or something, or blue chips, Nick Nolte and blue chips, he kicks the basketball. That's a technical.
How you feeling TV, man? Hey, you don't just watch the two.
I have to tell you, man, this is not anything we plan to talk about. And maybe this is a symptom of other things that I probably need to work through. I am not really enjoying watching any sports. Like, just recreationally, Liverpool's on, or like once a game gets going, I can kind of see myself getting into it, but I don't really want to watch any sports right now.
Yeah.
I know it seems so odd because that's what we talk about on here. I just don't, it's probably depression. I just don't have it. Like, I would rather watch the same stuff I've watched over and over again, which is also, oddly enough, Amy told me it's a sign that you like predictable things and you want stuff to, you know, something to be predictable for you. I just can't, like, I haven't watched a full soccer match outside of what we're going to talk about next, which I was covering a match. Like, I don't think I've watched a full soccer match since the Crew season ended. I don't think I've watched a full sporting event. Yeah, since the Crew season happened. So it's been kind of weird. So the World Cup, it's kind of, like I said before, it's at the perfect time for me where I don't want to watch anything anyway. And I especially don't want to watch anything involving this World Cup. And I don't know if maybe covering sports is part of it. Now that I've covered it for a few years now, especially this year, a lot more detail.
Sure.
Maybe I'm just not, like, the fan part is dying inside of me, but it's been weird. How are you kind of feeling with just getting up to watch sports? I know you're doing it to, like, you want to meet folks and you want to meet people in this new city and you want to make friends and all that. But how, like, are you like, oh man, Tottenham's playing this weekend, I'm so excited. Like, what are you? Well, that's a Tottenham fan. I don't think you ever feel like that. But outside of that normal feeling of Tottenham is Tottenham, do you kind of go through a spell like that?
Oh, 100%. No, absolutely. I definitely will have these things where like I'm super, or it'll be something where I'm super excited about something, like can't wait, this is going to be awesome, get to it, and maybe I enjoy it in the moment, but then 5 minutes after I'm like, well, that's over, okay, what do we do now? Is something, and yeah, no, definitely, like struggling to find joy and trying to find enjoyment in things that I typically love.
I'm
right there with you. I think it's a lot of things, right? Like it's a time of year that's difficult for a lot of people, and I think both of us have dealt with like losing parents and losing other people in our lives, and this time of year definitely I think reminds both of us of that, and of, you know, memories and stuff like that. And I think it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's just there's so much going on that's out of our control, and so many other issues that, yeah, I mean, it contributes to kind of what's already there.
Yeah. Just exhausting.
Yeah.
That's how I'd say it's all just exhausting. Yeah, man. So, all right, well, let's talk about what happened this week. Just came off of it. Yesterday was the final game. They announced it like a month ago, but they announced that Columbus is going to host the Big Ten women's soccer tournament. They're not doing the basketball tournament quite yet. Women's soccer tournament here in Columbus. And it was kind of at the last second they announced that it was being hosted by lower.com field. So I was in a position to get, you know, a writing gig out of it for the Columbus Sports Commission, and wrote an article before. And then I visited. I was there for the full 2 days, so three matches in 2 days. Right. And I say like not able to watch a sporting event. That was so different because, not just because I was there in person, which was nice, but like the weather was perfect. It was in like the 60s. I sat in the shade in a hoodie, and I didn't sit in the press box either. I wasn't covering it like this minute this happens, this minute this happens, this pass goes to this person. I was covering it more like a you can go ahead and get water. I was covering it. My daughter waits because I'm talking and she's doesn't want to make sound, but you're allowed to get water. Stay hydrated.
Hydration is key, kiddo.
Hydration is important. Yes. Hydration is key, kiddo. Brought to you by Bryant Caves. Lover of children.
I do like children. Children are cool. I just don't want
good with kids.
I like other people's kids. Oh, I don't want any of my own, but I like other people's
kids. I'm the exact opposite. I love my kids. I don't care about your kids. There you go. But like the weather was perfect. I sat in the stands. So like one half of the match, I would sit in the stands by myself on an entire side of the field that nobody was on. I sat in the stands right by the corner flag in the first row, sat there and watched the match. I would go over to where people were the second half for about 20, 30 minutes of the second half, talk to folks. I was writing about the event. I wasn't writing about, you know, the X's and O's. I wasn't writing about the tactics.
Sure.
And it was fantastic. So I hung out there Thursday pretty much all day from 12:30. I got home around like 8 o'clock, hung out there all day, interviewed a couple coaches, just talked to security guards, talked to anybody, just had conversations with folks. Sunday did the same thing. Which is also nice because Penn State won the entire tournament. So don't hate that as a graduate of that university. Hopefully Joe pays my debt off. But Thursday was also cool because the Nebraska Cornhuskers were there, which means it means the best manager in college soccer was there on location. John Belcastro, not currently on the show, but has been on many episodes of the show. I've done a couple things with their show, Women's Sports Matter, but it's all been via Zoom. It's all been via, you know, the internet. And then on Thursday, I was actually able to like talk to G in person. The first time I was walking in the field level underneath the stands and stuff, and I opened this door to go upstairs, and there's G is like, wait, do you know where the bathroom is? So I was showing them around, like, because it's kind of a labyrinth underneath the stands and stuff at the stadium. And I've been there a few times for crew matches. So I was able to like show them what was up. And then fortunately with the match and everything, they were kind of busy. doing soccer manager type things. But after the match, we saw each other in the hallway. We're able to talk for at least a few minutes. Today, they're waiting to see if Nebraska made the NCAA tournament. And unfortunately, they didn't. It was tough. There were some teams, like, they beat Ohio State in the tournament, in the first round of the tournament outside of Columbus when they were doing it at the home fields of the teams. And Ohio State made it, but Nebraska didn't, which that's going to kind of rub folks the wrong way. But it's a lot of who have you played during the season? How tough was your schedule? That's a big part of college soccer. Like, how tough is your schedule? And apparently they didn't make it. But it was still cool to meet G in person and take a photo. And I posted a photo on the Instagram of my personal account. And there's one where I look like I'm laughing. We're both laughing. Kind of like I think of Anchorman. We are laughing.
We are laughing.
In the image. But it's because we were taking the photo and somebody from the team was taking our photo. And they were like, a couple BAM fam members. And I don't even think about, like, I know we use hashtag BAM fam all the time, but I didn't even think about it. And it caught me off guard. And I just started laughing. It was just like a genuine, like, cool moment to talk to somebody in person that you've talked to for, God, like 2 years or so now, but only across the internet. So it was cool to hang out. And unfortunately, with their defeat that Thursday to Michigan State, they traveled home. So they didn't stay for the second match. Wasn't able to talk to G on Sunday. So outside of that, though, it was still a cool thing. I like covering events more than I like covering tactics of soccer. Yeah. I'm finding out, because I share this a little bit, why I left Massive Report. Just I enjoy soccer for different things. I enjoy soccer for the people that I've met in it, the events, the going to matches, hanging out with people. I enjoy the off the field stuff so much more, where, like, basketball, I actually do like writing about the games. I do like writing about that stuff. And it's just finding my niche. And that feels good to be able to do that.
I think at heart and I think this is for a lot of good journalists, are storytellers, right? Mm. Like, you don't necessarily want to break down X's and O's, right? You want to talk about storylines. You want to talk about things that were going on, talk about, you know, player situations, talk about, you know, things like that. Cause I think that's really the interesting things. Like, people describe sports as a male. I've heard it described as a male soap opera, right? Like, and right, obviously men and women, people of all genders, enjoy sports, but, you know, I've heard it described as such. And I think that's an area of writing that I really enjoy reading as well. I'm never going to be an expert on X's and O's, right? That's just not my thing, but I can understand drama. Yeah. I can understand a story. I can understand a storyline or things like that. Like, that's the things I'm really interested in as a person who likes to read sports journalism. So no, it's cool. It's cool that you're finding what works for you, what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find that, and it's find your place.
No, I did sometimes I do like a little inventory of what I write throughout the year, and end up doing it earlier today. I've written 360 articles this year. 230 of them have been with Massive Report. And I would say I enjoyed writing like 5 to 10 of them, probably Massive Report, because it was like a lot of the off-field stuff. I've put a lot of quantity into there, but I would like to maybe cut that down and write more things I want to write. So tournament was great, fantastic. So are we on Ask BAM now, or
I was going to give one quick shout out about women's soccer. Florida State, so both our alma maters, came out of the weekend doing well. Florida State is the ACC champion, so they ended up winning the ACC this year. And as of tonight, it was announced that they are the overall number one seed.
ACC, were they the regular season and conference tournament champions?
They were. So it's been a really good year for Florida State. So they were with a new coach, might I add, because Mark Krikorian, who was their previous coach, moved on to a role within U.S. Soccer. So their new coach, who was hired from University of Tennessee, has led them to, you know, another really successful season. It's a program that keeps winning. What's also really cool, their bracket, we could have a BAM derby.
What?
There could be FSU playing a member of the BAM fam. If both teams advance from the first round, FSU would play the 8 seed in their bracket, LSU Tigers.
Oh, man.
From Ravi Roberts.
So, Seminole bait. That's yeah. Seminole bait.
We're going to take them down. So they're also, you may, depending on it, get a chance to cover a Florida State soccer game because Ohio State is also in that bracket.
Well, are they gonna play like, oh, when do they go neutral site?
Yeah, I have no idea that. I have no idea there. I just happened to see it come across Twitter as I was looking for the BAMFAM questions that side, that particular side of the bracket. So Ohio State is the 6th seed in that bracket. Also, St. Louis is the 2 seed. The men's team put a bunch of players in the MLS draft this year, and the women's team is apparently good enough for
I think it's their 5th season in a row winning their conference tournament. Fifth or sixth season.
Shout out to the Billikens.
And I think they play in the highest ranked location. I want to say they do highest ranked location for the first round or two. I'm not sure. I don't know really how it works.
Land Grant Holy Land wants to send you down to Tallahassee to cover a game.
Oh my, Tallahassee!
I know some people.
Well, man, I wanted to cover their team this year, but it was just too much. I couldn't do it alongside, you know, crew and stuff like that. But I'm gonna watch Florida State versus LSU. I want to see some Seminole bait.
Let's get them. Let's go
Seminole bait. Let's do it. Let's
move on to those Ask BAM. And guys, you got a little weird on us this week. I'm going to be honest. There's some strange questions in here. We'll start with where the less strange questions are, I think, which is on Instagram.
Which we always answer these questions.
Always. We've never,
never miss them.
Never once happened.
I can't imagine once we'd ever do that.
No, I don't know how we'd even manage.
No.
Couldn't sleep. So the first question comes from Zach Sperling. Good old Zach from the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Quar. All right, let's get to this.
Thomas, Zach wants to hear our opinions on Skyline Chili.
It's awful. We already gave you our opinions. Next question. Get out.
Cinnamon doesn't belong in chili, guys. What are we doing?
Get out of here.
In the word... Another question from Zach. Zach's been to, in the word scent, like smell, right? Mm-hmm. Is the S silent or is the C?
I'm going to say the C is silent.
Okay. Because both, if you remove the other letter,
yeah,
both work. Because C-E-N-T is, you know, a scent, right?
Right.
Denomination of money. Sent, S-E-N-T, I sent that email.
Right.
So both work as a word on their own. Which one's silent?
I'm making the C silent because they put the S first. So maybe there's a reason they put the S first.
I like it. Probably from like Latin or something.
Probably those crazy Latin.
Oh, you know it. This one from Allie. Allie Leg. Good old Allie. How's Allie doing?
Just at my house over the weekend, baking with Amy. They were baking cookies and they made some pumpkin chocolate chip banana bread or something like that.
Ooh.
Have mercy. Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
So Allie is asking us how to pronounce the name of an actor. So I'm going to spell the name. I'm going to spell the first name because it's the first name that she wants us to pronounce. It is C-I-L-L-I-A-N. Murphy, you know, he's been in Inception. He was
Peaky Blinders, Begins.
Peaky fucking Blinders, mate. good show. Peaky Blinders was good. I watched the first season. I need to go back and watch some more. So she wants to know how to pronounce that name. I consulted some experts.
Can I guess first?
You sure can.
Okay, I'm going to say it's pronounced Cillian Murphy.
That is correct. So
I
happen to be friends with some people we mentioned earlier, one of which is Irish from Ireland. The other has a doctorate from a university in Ireland. So I texted our group chat with Alyssa and those two folks and asked the question. Alyssa was the first one to actually to respond, sent me some great Google information confirming that. And then they, so my friend Christina Regan and her husband, Joe, Christina confirmed that it is pronounced Cillian Murphy. And then not only that, apparently they've met Cillian Murphy when they lived in Ireland. They went to a play that he was in, and apparently somehow they got invited to an after party afterward. I guess maybe they knew someone in the play and or involved in the play and met him, said he's a super nice guy.
Wow.
So, and I got a movie recommendation starring him that I've not seen personally, which was The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley. It sounds like an Irish movie if I've ever heard one.
It really does. It's from 2006. I'm gonna go out on a limb. I have no idea about this. I'm going to say Brendan Gleeson is probably in it.
The Wind? Oh, I'm looking it up right now. The cool thing, I was looking at just like his life, you know, and his movies and the stuff that he's been in, and it came across his wife's name actually too. His wife's last name is McGinnis. Get a more Irish last name or just an Irish name than McGinnis?
I went to college with a guy whose name was Patrick Thomas O'Sullivan.
Oh my, get out of here. Oh my god.
The Wind That Shakes the Barley is apparently about the Irish War of Independence and two guys killing Brits. So, you know,
who are you looking for?
That's the kind of the synopsis of the film.
Oh, who were you saying was probably in that movie?
Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, he is not in this.
Oh, that's very surprising.
Yeah.
No, well, but Liam Cunningham is. Okay. I knew there one of those common Irish guys was in it.
By the way, if you have Apple TV Plus, anybody out there listening, you need to watch Bad Sisters. It takes place in Ireland, and they go and they're trying to kill their brother-in-law. The good thing is, right at the beginning of the show, you know he's dead, but you don't know how he died. And it's a good series. It's on Apple TV Plus, but it takes place in Ireland. All the actors are Irish. And I only thought of it because one of the people in this movie, Aidan O'Hare, he plays also in The World's End with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, but he is in Bad Sisters. So give that show a watch. Very, very well done. Good show. So Cillian Murphy, next question.
Allie also wants to know, how would you describe the logic of time travel on Back to the Future versus other franchises?
I used to really vehemently defend Back to the Future. Allie and I would argue about the merits of time travel and Back to the Future. And I forget what it was especially that did it, but I did end up getting to that place eventually where I was like, no, Back to the Future doesn't make sense. Because there are moments where like people run into each other, and how does it still stay the same when so many events changed in the past? So I eventually came around to the Back to the Future is not, if there is ever time travel, I don't feel like it's going to be Back to the Future.
Okay. I also think one of the issues with time travel that I've seen is the issue of place. So much as like, how can you know for sure that you're going to end up in the same place that you moved, right? Like, because the Earth is moving on an axis. It's rotating, it's moving. So if you're changing time, the Earth will have rotated in some way.
Damn, Brian. I never thought of this either.
I read that somewhere, and that kind of blew my mind about time travel. and why time that travel would be so difficult.
Like maybe in Endgame Avengers, that makes a little bit more sense, where you're moving down into a time that's more chaotic and you're coming out at certain points where you're choosing the points in which you come out.
Yeah,
maybe. And it's not just a car hitting 85 miles an hour and then all of a sudden you're in the same spot 50 years earlier. Right. Like that, that's interesting. Or maybe it is, maybe there's more to the Back to the Future than we know. Probably not, because it's just a blockbuster movie, as is the Avengers, but still, either way, I'm digging it. I think that Earth rotating, that really, that gets me. So that kind of makes Back to the Future even more fake to me, which I already knew it was fake, but still.
Implausible. Yeah. AK Costello 678. I'm not sure who that is.
No idea.
Yeah. Wants to know our favorite new Taylor Swift song.
I haven't listened through the Taylor Swift album the whole way through. I mean, I've heard it because Amy's played it, but I couldn't tell you. Brian, what's your favorite Tay-Tay song?
I haven't listened to the new album, so I have no idea about the new album. All time, it's probably Blank Space. Blank Space was a banger.
Okay. I can't tell you like a song that I've heard them all. My problem with music is I'm not good at remembering names of songs. I remember songs, and when it's playing, I'm like, oh, I really like this song, but I can't remember the name of song. I can sing lyrics, but if you ask me, even my favorite artists, like a Jeff Rosenstock song, I can't read most of their name. I can't tell you most of the names of their songs just off the top of my head, unless it's the repeating line in it, unless it's the chorus or something like that. So I have troubles with that. But Taylor Swift, I don't go out of my way to listen. I think during the pandemic, I was in a weak spot and I listened to Folklore on my own once. But when it's on, it's fine. It's good. I can see why she's so popular. But I'm never going to go out of my way to listen on my own.
Boys only want love if it's torture.
Oh, my gosh. I know that's a Tay-Tay line.
That's Blank Space.
She goes after so many people that have wronged her in her songwriting, but like you have don't give a fuck money. Like, why are you going after people? Why does it matter?
I respect the pettiness.
If I have that much money, I'm not going to be petty and go after somebody.
I would be more likely
to be petty because
I have a little more cushion. Like, I got money to back me up, so I don't have as much to worry about.
You want to hear some garbage about Taylor Swift. So they're going to try to buy tickets to the concert. My wife and I decided it's about 15% of what she's thinking about at all times. And it goes higher at certain points when we're talking about like stuff and it comes up. She's going to go to a concert. She's going to take my daughters. She's going to go with our friends, Allie and Ryan. She asked me if I want to go. I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to pay an extra ticket, worry about babysitting stuff. Like, I'll stay home with the boy and we'll stay home and you guys go have fun. I don't care. It's not an experience that I'm going to feel like I missed out on not going to it. But the concert they're trying to go to in Pittsburgh, it's going to be like the day before Father's Day. So they're not even going to be home until late Father's Day. So I don't even get to sleep in on the one day of the year I get to sleep in. So now I'm just angry about it, which I've voiced my frustration. But when it comes to a Taylor Swift concert, Father's Day goes back on its rightful place in the ranking of holidays very low.
It's like, it reminds me of a Chris Rock bit where he talks about every song is always about mama.
Like, right.
I love my mama. I always love my mama. You know,
always wrongs you.
What was the daddy song? Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Oh, man. Oh, next question. I'm fired up.
This one from Felix wants to know our favorite Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode.
I have to say, not the first one. The first one that it was actually labeled Treehouse of Horrors. I like the older ones. I can't say I've seen any of them in the last 15 years plus. So I have to go back to like the original ones where the aliens initially come up and they're like their Treehouse of Horrors and stuff. I like that one. I think there was one too where Homer went into like a purgatory almost kind of place, like he went into like a void. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It was like a parallel dimension, and he became
3D.
Yeah, he's in like 3D.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorites. That's the ones I can remember.
I watched that one recently, actually. Uh-huh. Chief Wiggum starts shooting into the void because he doesn't know what to do, and then at the very end he pops out and he's like animated, but he's in like the real world.
I remember that now, it's all coming back.
There's a really good one where Groundskeeper Willie is Freddy Krueger.
I remember really, that one.
There's one where Felix and I actually exchanged this line about three times over the past month where it's the episode where Homer buys the Krusty doll for Bart, and the doll starts trying to kill him, and he goes into like this little trinket shop or something. It's a parody of the shop from Gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trying to buy the doll, and then the doll comes with a free frozen yogurt that we call Frogurt. But you know, the doll carries a terrible curse, and he said, "That's bad, but it comes with a free Frogurt. That's good." And they just go back and forth like this. But it does come with a free topping. That's good. The toppings contain potassium benzoate, and Homer's confused, and he's like, "That's bad."
Oh, it's some good writing on there, man. Some good writing.
Yeah, so funny. This one, I don't know that I really approve of this question, but I'm gonna read it out loud anyway. This is from Ryan Legg. Thomas, what's your favorite podcast to record, and why is it Merch Booth?
Okay, we talked about Father's Day and we talked about parenting, and I thought of my answer before this. I do two podcasts, Brian Me and Merch Booth. Brian Me, we've been going on for over 3 years now. Merch Booth is a new over 100 episodes. Merch Booth, we've gone a couple episodes deep. I look at both of these podcasts like they're my kids. Not that, you know, about the loving them the same, but also, as a father, I feel like I'm still neglecting both of them, and I could do so much better. And both of the shows are going to have a lot to talk about in therapy later on in life. So I feel like I am neglecting them like a good parent should feel that they're being neglected. And I could probably put a lot more into them, but I'm just so damn tired. That's my answer for the two podcasts.
That's a good answer. And I'll lob you a softball here, Thomas. We'll go back to Halloween for a moment. Felix asks, if the invisible man is sleeping in your bed.
The invisible man, they're sleeping in your bed. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. It always makes me think of the scene from Casper.
Oh, okay.
Where they're like, they got the ghosts, and the ghosts are going nuts. And then you see Dan Aykroyd come out of the house, and he's like, "Who are you going to call? Somebody else."
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember that one from a kid. I've probably seen it like once when I was a kid, but I don't remember much about it.
With Christina Ricci and
that might have been
Bill Paxton.
That was probably when I was in like late middle school. So it was probably to the point where I wasn't watching that stuff anymore. And I thought, oh, this is a kid's movie, and I'm so mature. I never thought I was mature. I still don't think I'm mature. But same idea applies in this situation. I was like, I'm too cool to watch that. So I don't think I've ever seen it. But I like a good Ghostbusters reference.
It's good stuff. Moving over to Twitter, the aforementioned Felix, wants to know, does Portland winning the NWSL title make the Chicago Athletes owner the worst owner in the league? Hashtag Arnhem out.
I still think Merritt and Arnhem are both similar levels of awful. I think Portland won despite their owner, so I'm gonna still say they're both awful. I think Arnhem and Merritt should both be out, and it's very difficult to continue on support of a team like the Chicago Soccer Athletes whenever they have somebody like that still pulling the strings and in charge behind the scenes. I will still likely support the players next year, but I need to catch myself not falling for the silence and eventually supporting the team as a whole again without some major change in ownership, because can't give engagement, can't give the money. I can't give that. I want to support the players and watch the team play and all that, but I don't want to support Arnhem anymore. It's tough, man. So I'm going to say they're both awful. I don't want to give anybody a pass just because your team won a title.
That I agree 100%. Why choose? Or as the little girl said in the, was that Old El Paso Tacos?
Why not both?
Exactly. The aforementioned Robbie Rogers wants to know your favorite. So we do have Thanksgiving coming up. Thanksgiving involves a classic wrestling show, Survivor Series. He wants to know your favorite Survivor Series match of all time. He says Team Austin versus Team Bischoff from the 2003 Survivor Series.
I forget. I think this was the maybe 2000. I wasn't watching by the time it got to like where Bischoff was actively fighting and stuff in the league. I think I was right before that I quit watching. I'm going to pick Mankind versus The Rock. I think it was like 2000 or something like that. Turned into kind of like a street fight. You don't see The Rock in many of like the tables breaking chair matches and stuff like that. Sure. So the two of them and Mankind just like pummeling The Rock. That was an underrated rivalry back then. I think that was the Rock and Sock connection, but they were forced into tag team with each other and they fought. They always had good matches because they were both so good on the mic. They were both so good. And Mick Foley, and you could do anything to him. But that match was one where The Rock was like, okay, I'm not going to be like Mankind and get hit like Mankind, but I'm still going to be in a match with the crazy guy, because Rock was, it was always him and Austin, and they had the theatrics and they had the big moments and the, you know, the music crashes and Vince McMahon runs out or something like that. But Mankind versus Rock was two very different styles going at each other.
Funny story about that match. It was featured in a really good wrestling documentary, if you've never seen it, called Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat. Is that the one where who like said some stuff in that one?
Jake the Snake Roberts smoked crack.
I did watch that on camera. Because the whole like it starts with Jake the Snake doing a house show or something, right? Yeah. And then it goes back and falls. That's where I saw. I remember seeing that match again.
Though. The Mick Foley Rock match that you're talking about, they're filming his children watching that match, and his children were young at the time, so they're like just crying their eyes out watching their dad, just because they, you know, they don't know, they don't understand it's, you know, what they're doing. And I mean, he was legitimately getting hit in the head and everything else with the chair and everything else, and his kids are watching that match and crying, and you see him trying to like comfort the kids after the match, but his like face is all bloody and stuff. It's a good movie. It's an uncomfortable movie.
Yeah, for sure.
The WWF in the mid-90s had a lot of really bad matches. And there's a match I want to talk about because it's really bad. There was a feud going on between Doink the Clown and Jerry the King Lawler in the mid-90s. And they decided to have a match in which each man had themselves and then three little people as their tag team. Yeah, so it was Jerry the King Lawler, and I think the three people on his team were like it was like Cheesy, Queasy, and something else.
Oh my god.
And it's really bad. As a kid, I thought it was the funniest thing in the world, because you know,
right,
your kid. But yeah, you look back at it now and it's like, ooh, that's really bad. But that's just the first one that popped into my head just because of the memories of that.
So bad.
I believe that was Survivor Series. That was probably like 95, 96, 94, maybe something in their mid-90s.
Before WWF got big before it got huge.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was in that like lull period. So it was like huge in the 80s and into the early 90s.
Hulk and then, Andre the Giant and stuff. Like
that. And then it hit that like mid 90s. 1995 is widely considered the worst year ever in professional wrestling. just
so they're all occupation based. They're all occupation based. Like you said, the tax man, right?
You had IRS. You had Duke the Dumpster Drosy, who was a wrestling garbage man. You had the Goon, who was a wrestling hockey player.
Of course.
You had Henry Godwin, whose middle name started with an O. So it was Henry O. Godwin, and he was an Arkansas hog farmer.
Oh my God.
Vince McMahon, who's a well-known Republican, partly did it as a joke against Bill Clinton because he was like this Arkansas hillbilly kind of thing. And so, yeah, it was a lot of like occupational gimmicks. Well, Kane, you know, started out as a wrestling dentist.
Oh my gosh.
It's... Isaac Yankum DDS, his ring music was just a dentist drill.
Oh my gosh.
So good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Tanya.
So WCW saved wrestling. WCW probably saved wrestling.
The NWO angle is really what saved it. Because then the WWF kind of had to step up their game and they kind of started going back and forth and trying to push each other and trying to make each other better. And
yeah,
we got the Attitude Era and all that good stuff.
Golden age
indeed, sir. I actually played yesterday at that wrestling show that I mentioned at the arcade. They had WCW NWO Revenge
for the
N64 setup. And man, I hadn't played that game in probably 20 years.
That's so fun.
And it was, yeah, we had a good time.
Dang.
Tanya wants to know how you enjoyed the Big Ten women's soccer tourney. So we talked about that.
We got that. Yeah, I enjoyed good, it a lot.
Wants to know the good and the bad. Sounds like there really was no bad. So,
No, I think being able to talk to G more would have been cool. I think it was good. No, it was just... It was all good. I brought my laptop the first day and I shouldn't have brought it. So I didn't bring it on Sunday. That was another good thing, but it was also a bad thing. I shouldn't even brought it, but it was good. All good things.
Alex Dumas wants to know something about Russian artillery. Instead, we're just going to talk about the KC Current and what a flop they were.
Oh man, geez, you know, that's rough to make it to a title and not win it. Casey Current, I wouldn't say too current. I'd say Casey passed. There, that was before. And Cece Kaiser, was she at the championship? I don't know. Did she do anything at the match?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So yeah,
I think she
nothing
was
about
healthy,
tanks.
Healthy yeah. Scratch.
Well, it at least looked like it on the field. So yeah, Casey Current, Casey expired, I would say at this point.
Passed their sell by date. Soccer noob wants to know, does the Greek club PAS Gianna translate more accurately as peace vagina or vagina of peace?
I don't understand the question. I'm not going to answer it.
That's the correct response to that. Did we watch the MLS Cup final? I did not.
I ended up turning it on in extra time because I saw it went to extra time. The extra time actually was, I turned it on right before the LA keeper broke his leg, which they didn't show a replay in the, he got a red card too, because he
saw the replay online.
Though. Oh, I didn't see
it. Oh, God.
I didn't see the, I'm not going to watch it. But seeing like a goal in the 124th minute, then seeing a goal in like the 127th minute, that was pretty cool. Once it got to penalty kicks though, it kind of sucked. Both teams didn't have great penalty kicks, especially Philly. Philly, they didn't make, I think they made one. They made one penalty kick.
Yeah, maybe. They were a disaster.
It was just a dumpster fire. So it was a really cool extra time that went to a really sloppy and annoying. Like, I'd rather have what Chelsea and Liverpool had last year in one of their cup finals where they each got down to the goalkeepers. Like, I want to see that kind of penalty kick. I don't want to see just horrible. It was awful. It was bad. So I did watch a little bit of it. I'm glad I didn't watch the whole thing. I'm glad I just saw the highlight parts, like the biggest parts right at the end.
Yeah.
And I wish I didn't watch any of the penalty kicks.
Pete Gillette wants to know, will the new Liverpool owner, group or human be worse than Elon Musk?
Depends. I think if oil money comes into it and it becomes another sports washing venture, that'll be really tough. I don't know if I could continue. That would be bad. Like, I can't. I don't know if I could do that. Elon is just a stupid rich person. He's just a dumbass. Like, that, he's gonna ruin Twitter. But if anything, like, I'll probably pull out marshmallows as it burns. I'd probably be better off. I've met a lot of great, like, everyone I've met on Twitter has been awesome. Like, the real people that I've met from it, and that's been cool. And I'll always keep those folks. I'll always talk to those folks as much. I have numbers of, like, almost everybody that I've talked to on there. I wouldn't miss it if it was gone.
Yeah, burn, baby, burn. Yeah, he's a piece of trash. You know, dude who comes from, you know, a pro-apartheid family in South Africa who owned a freaking emerald mine. A dude who was born on third base and went through his whole life thinking he hit a triple. Like, he's a piece of garbage. To hell with Elon Musk.
And but now, yeah, like, the whole thing, like, oh, I'm not, you know, now we can be have comedy again on Twitter. And now he's suspending people permanently who don't say that they're a parody account. Like, you want an open exchange of ideas, but you also don't trust the people to know what's parody and what's not. So he's just a... He didn't even want to buy Twitter. He bought it on a whim, but then he was like, oh crap, I don't want it. And he tried to back out, was forced to buy it. He doesn't want to be here. And it's just ramping up all the, you know, anti-Semitism online. I think the N-word what increased, they said 500% after he owned it, and he removed parameters and stuff.
The Middlesbrough.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, that was actually Pete who shared that tweet with us, where they highlighted a player who is black, and somebody replied, "Idiot, N-word." Middlesbrough reported it, and they said it did not go against any guidelines at Twitter. So, racist speech. So Elon's just a fucking idiot, and he's an awful human being. But taking away, having the power to completely alter people's lives, removing human rights, jailing people for different beliefs than your religious state is I would say far worse than what Elon does. Yeah. Although Elon is doing stuff that on the surface is pretty shiesty, but if you're listening to Elon Musk for your political views, or if you're listening to Elon Musk for how you think about things, I'm more afraid for you than I am for
you were a lost cause. If that's the case, you were a lost cause anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, to hell with that guy. Pete also wants to know one niche hipster recommendation for Asheville next weekend. He has a reservation for Curate already, and he's hit most of the big breweries before. You know, unfortunately, the times I've been to Asheville, we did kind of the really well-known stuff. I love Asheville. Asheville is one of my favorite cities. If you haven't been and you're looking for something else good to eat, 12 Bones Barbecue is really good. It's over kind of in the Art District. It's really good place. A funny story about that. Alyssa and I went on a hike one time in Asheville. For some reason, we decided, well, I think it was mostly me, decided that we could do a 6-mile hike at altitude.
Oh,
we had a 1-liter bottle of water between us and no food. I made my peace with God on that hike about halfway through. And then we get about halfway through the trail and we see a sign that says to watch out for bears. So this was like I said, I made my peace with God on that trip. Like, I'm not going to make it back to the car. Like, I'm going to die out here. And after that hike, we survived it. I wasn't able to walk for a while. We went to 12 Bones Barbecue, really good barbecue place. And that might be the best tasting meal I've ever had in my life.
You never told me this story. Is this on the AT? Is it part of the AT Appalachian Trail? Is it like a piece of the trail?
I'm not sure. It's in the Pisgah National Forest, P-I-S-G-A-H.
I don't know where. I'm not even sure where the Appalachian Trail goes through.
It would be
on the west side of North Carolina because that's where the mountains are.
Yeah, it's where Asheville is. It's probably somewhere part of the Appalachians. Because, the Appalachian Trail goes from Georgia all the way up through...
Yeah, Maine, I think.
Yeah. Or
up to maybe Vermont. I don't know. Up in that northeast area.
Way up there, yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Slutson at Mike Hudson Sucks. If you could pick the crew hashtag for next year and it can't be hashtag crew 96, what would you pick?
Crew Kachu.
That's actually well done.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with, I have no dog in this fight, so I'm going to go with that.
Hashtag crew Kachu.
Trending right now on Twitter. I want all of you to tweet out hashtag crew Kachu.
Kachu, like cuckoo Kachu. I am the crew fan. Crew Kachu.
I like it. And we will finish with Matt Morris. So Matt Morris wants to know, with the USL Super League coming up and scandals in the NWSL, do you think we could see the USL's women's league eventually supplant the NWSL?
With continued growth of USL, Nova, do you think that any club leagues not affiliated with either will be able to survive? I think we talked about the USL and the NWSL one before.
Yeah.
If NWSL doesn't clean up their act, I think it's prime for USL to try to jump in and challenge them. I know NWSL has gotten a lot of money, which is going to end up being the thing that saves them, because that's what American sports is, or that's what all sports are pretty much now at this level. Unless USL can get some big funding and say, hey, you want to invest in that league? Look at all that's happening over there. We are a clean slate. We are a blank canvas that you can use to build and draw upon. If the USL could do that, I don't know if they are, because that seems like a pretty big power play to do. I think USL could definitely get into there. And which is better, Aldi or Trader Joe's? Trader Joe's quality is better, but price Aldi is far better for me.
I don't have an Aldi near me, so we do frequent Trader Joe's quite a bit.
Yeah,
I began the night drinking a delicious Trader Joe's maple flavored coffee.
Ooh, okay.
And yeah, I put Trader Joe's everything but the bagel seasoning on just about everything. So
well, that's why it's there. Yeah, that's how it's advertised.
So I'm gonna go with Trader Joe's. I'm a Trader Joe's believer.
And you don't need a quarter, which is also nice. But their carts are smaller. You think they make them? Well, because their stores are so darn small.
That's the only thing with Trader Joe's, is there's never a good time to go to Trader Joe's.
No,
because it's always packed.
Never.
And it's small.
Yeah.
So,
actually, Mike did have another one. Why have I let my dreams be dreams? I thought this was a good question. I think I don't think you bought strong enough bootstraps. I don't think you're trying hard enough.
I'm going to say that dreams last for so long, even after you're gone.
Are also sweet dreams are made of these. So who am I to disagree?
You know, all I have to do is dream, 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 dream.
I travel the world in the seven seas.
I am looking at you through a camera.
Everybody's looking for something. Did we just sing two different songs?
We did, but I sang a version from The Simpsons in which Artie Ziff, who had a huge crush on Marge.
Yes, I remember. The rich guy. He got really rich and he tried to win Marge away.
Is singing that song, and then he ends with, instead of everybody's looking for something, he says, I am looking at you through a camera, when he's singing about Marge. Dream on, Thomas. Dream on.
Thank
you. Until your dream comes true. Boom, boom, down, 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 I can't hit those Steven Tyler high
either.
Notes.
I can't either. But
I don't think he can anymore either.
Or as if he was trying to take Marge to the senior prom. Correct. Although Homer thought that he was going with her. And then eventually Homer wins the girl that night over Artie. And the rest is history.
And then Artie becomes an incel. Total incel energy. And on that note, guys, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to the show. It's always much appreciated. We have such a blast making it, and we hope you're having a blast listening to it. You can find us on social media if you want to submit some more questions. We're at Bryant and Me on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Thomas is at One Thomas Costello on both platforms. You can read all the fantastic things he's writing. Atlantic Grand Holy Land. Listen to the Merch Booth podcast that he and Ryan record on occasion. Or he's writing for the Columbus Sports Commission, doing all kind of great stuff. So be on the lookout for everything that Thomas is doing and support that as you can. You can find me on Twitter at Pickle Chips. Replace the I's with ones and add an extra S at the end. So there's two S's.
Multiple Pickle Chips. This is.
I'm at Pickle Chip, no S's. Also replace the I's with one on Instagram if you want to follow me on there as well. We appreciate you telling your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, pretty much anybody about the pod. It's always appreciated. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you get fine and not so fine podcasts. We always appreciate those as well. If they're funny, we'll read them on the air. And you guys haven't really been doing that. So, you know,
let me check and see if anyone did since we're here. Let's just go crazy and let's see if anybody has given a review to
Bryant and me. Let's go crazy.
Let's get nuts. Nope.
Of course not.
We have it, but we have a 5-star rating out of 18 ratings on our good friend Apple Podcasts. So we're not doing too bad for ourselves, Bryant.
Not too bad at all.
And so, we don't have a rating at all on Spotify because they don't let you rate a show on Spotify unless you've listened to the show.
And if you've listened to this, there's no way you're giving it 5 stars.
No, there's not. So there is that.
So by the time you're listening to this, it will be election day. You know, go out and vote. You might as well. You got nothing better to do. Right. It's not going to make things better, but you can slow down the pace of things getting worse. So
it's snowballing.
It sure is.
And maybe that's just because we've been inundated with constant political ads over the last few months. But also it is. It's probably not as bad, but it's still really bad how things are going. So yeah, stop the craziness. I'm sure we won't, but we can at least try. And then if not, we only have our privilege to fall back on.
And each other.
And each other's privilege.
And on that note also, take care of yourselves, take care of your physical health, your mental health. As we head into the holidays, check on your friends, man. This is a tough time of year for some people. Maybe they've lost loved ones or just are struggling. Maybe they can't visit their family, whatever the case may be. It's a difficult time for some people. So check on your friends. Check on those people around you that you care about. Let them know you love them. Do nice things for them. Make sure they're doing okay.
Invite them to your house.
There you go.
Invite them to your family's house. I'm sure your family won't care. Invite somebody who needs a place to go.
Thomas has, I've hung out with Thomas's family at, I believe, both Christmas and Thanksgiving. So I know definitely Thanksgiving because we went to Amy's.
And you made that Alyssa made that goat cheese mashed potatoes. Oh my gosh. And that, like, it's just, you know, friends are family. Family is not just your blood. It's the folks, you know, around you that make your life better. So invite people out. And I wasn't looking for anything there, Brian, I swear. I wasn't fishing, but it's just invite people, like make people part of your family. And
brother-in-law Jim still makes the best old-fashioned I've ever had,
dude. Like, the guy can cook. Like, I love my in-laws. I can say this because this is a safe space. Like, my mother-in-law has so many like dietary restrictions and stuff. Like, she doesn't eat dairy anymore. She doesn't eat gluten anymore. Like, it's not that like food doesn't, it doesn't taste bad when I go to in-laws. I'm still very fortunate and stuff that they have food, but it doesn't taste like, period. It's just like, we, if your stomach is empty, it'll be full when you leave. That's the review. Like, I,
as my dad used to say, it'll make a turd.
Right. It definitely, definitely makes a turd. My brother-in-law, dude, the guy can cook, make old fashioned. He makes his own like beer. He makes his own spirits. He makes all this stuff. And then he cooks like on Thanksgiving. What day? Wasn't Thanksgiving. He just had extra vegetables and he made it into like a vegetable souffle. And it was amazing. Like, he just throws crap together and it's amazing. So we're having two Thanksgivings actually, because this year we split holidays. We've never gone to both families on every holiday because it's too much. And we wanted to keep our sanity since we were like dating and engaged. We haven't done like both families at the same time. So this year is supposed to be Thanksgiving with my side of the family, my sister, my mom and stuff. But my sister can't because her kids are at her dad's on Thanksgiving. So we're going to do Thanksgiving on Friday with them. That means we're going to my in-laws on Thursday. So I'm going to eat enough to like stretch the stomach on that Thursday Thanksgiving. So on Friday I can fill it with all that yummy food.
That's what's up. Yeah. We're staying in North Carolina for both holidays this year.
You guys traveled so much last year, though. I'm sure it's kind of nice to stay home this time.
We're excited about it. Well, we've been back and forth to Florida twice already this year for when my grandma was sick and then when she passed. So, yeah.
And you were there the holiday. I felt like you were there for Christmas and Thanksgiving last year.
We were there at Thanksgiving. We ended up not going for Christmas because I thought I got sick. I got like a cold and I tested negative for COVID, but didn't
want to chance it. And then you got COVID. At the funeral, or then had COVID.
I had COVID at the funeral and hugged a bunch of people, because you know the funeral was a super spreader event.
And you didn't know, like either. Be fair, Florida, everything is a super spreader event.
It's the super spreader state.
If you're not spreading COVID, you're spreading propaganda of some sort.
Jesus Christ! What a cluster that place is. Anyway, guys, we love every single one of you. We hope you have a great rest of your week.
Yeah.
Go out and watch Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Just finished it.
Is that good?
It was fantastic. Highly recommend.
Okay.
Go watch it. Really, really good. Get real nerdy. Delve into all the lore. It's a blast. And then go back and watch Lord of the Rings. Because those movies are flawless.
Fantastic. We're starting the White Lotus season 2, which is fine. I know it's more hip than Ted Lasso is, and I know Ted Lasso is not cool award-winning shows. That was a bring up conversation that we had with Pete, you and Pete dogging on Ted Lasso. White Lotus was good. I haven't seen the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. I don't watch a lot of stuff on Amazon, to be honest.
I got Amazon just specifically for that, just because I want to see that.
Fair. That's fair. So I need to find. I don't know.
White Lotus has Stifler's mom, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah, she's like the star of it. And this season has what's her name from Parks and Rec? She played April.
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza. She's in the series this year.
Oh, nice.
And The Crown is coming back November 9th in 2 days, season 5 of The Crown. I don't know if you ever watched that. You could get through the first episode, it's a good show after that.
Are they going to have a zombie Queen Elizabeth on there?
I think so. That might be hard to tell the difference.
I got him.
Oh,
and on that note, was guys, rude. We love every single one of you. Have a great week.
Yeah,
take care of yourselves.
See you next week, probably.
Maybe. We'll see.
Are we recording next week?
Yeah, probably. Why not?
I don't have anything.
I don't think I do.
All right. See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Where is it? Record button. Well, can't somebody else do it?
Garbage man Cam.